The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps. Be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus is calling us in a special way during this year of faith to do exactly as he says in today's gospel. Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants awaiting their master's return, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Told the story before, the way we used to await my dad's return from work. As soon as we would hear the brakes on our steel van squeal and the door slam, all the kids and our black Labrador retriever would run to the back door just waiting to be the first person to jump up into my dad's arms, give him a big hug and a kiss and a welcome home. That's the way Jesus is calling us always to be awaiting him, with our lamps lit. Throughout Christmas, we put candles in our windows, precisely in Advent for the Lord's return, waiting for him to come. We turn lights on at night at our doors when we know people are going to be coming over. It's a sign of expectation. We're supposed to be lit candles, constantly awaiting the Lord. But he also says, "Your gird's loined." That's an expression we don't use every day in English any longer. What that basically meant is, in the ancient world, in Jesus' time, they all had long tunics. And when they needed to work, overflowing garments, and if they had outer garments, if it were cold, it went all the way down to their toe. So when they needed to run, when they needed to work very hard, they'd take it and they'd tuck it inside their belt. That's what it meant to have your girds loined. You were ready, your loins girth. You were ready for action. You were ready to move. You were ready to work. Jesus says he's constantly coming, prepared to knock on our hearts. We need to be waiting for him and ready to follow him and to work with him. There are two immediate applications of this. The first is toward the end of our life, that we should have our lamps lit and our loins girt, waiting for the Lord's coming for us to call us home. Shouldn't be afraid of heaven. Shouldn't be afraid of death. We should be awaiting the union that'll come in love if we die well, if we die as a faithful Christian, if we die ready. Today we celebrate the feast day of Blessed John Paul II. We remember, all of us, his death on April 2nd, 2005. Reason why we celebrate his feast day today is today was the day he gave his opening homily in his inaugural Mass in 1978, 35 years ago. But it's also because April 2nd will almost always get quashed as liturgical observance by either Holy Week or Easter Week. So they moved it to a day in which we would be able to mark it. But we remember the day that he died, April 2nd. There, his light was on in his bedroom as Cardinal Jeevesh, his secretary, was celebrating a Mass with candles lit in his room so that he would be able to receive in Holy Communion that Lord Jesus whom he announced to the world and whom he always had his loins girt to serve and to crisscross the entire world, following Jesus on a journey that was essentially three times a round trip from here to the moon. That's how much he traveled in order to spread love of Jesus. And while that light was on in his room, down in St. Peter's Square, he had 60,000 people with their own candles lit, praying the rosary that John Paul II loved so much, so that as the Lord was about to knock on Carol Wojtyla's heart and call him home, he would be ready to pass from the apostolic palace to the eternal mansion of the Father. We likewise are called to be ready. We might not have that long process where we know we're dying. We may not have that immediate sense that 60,000 people are outside our window praying along with us. But we need to be ready all the same, knowing that our guardian angel's praying for us, all the angels and the saints are praying for us. They're hoping that we're going to be able to have a holy death when the Lord comes to knock for us, just as we saw in John Paul II, who taught us not only how to live well, but how to die well. But there's a second application to today's reading. The Lord Jesus is always coming and knocking. And we're supposed to be ever ready with our lamps lit and loins girt to embrace him, to work with him, and to follow him. One of the ways Jesus is constantly trying to knock on hearts is to get them to open up precisely to his merciful love. Today's first reading was all about Jesus' incredible mercy. St. Paul here, as he did in his first letter to the Corinthians, contrasts what Adam did and what the new Adam, Jesus, did. Just as Adam, one man, brought sin into the world through his disobedience, so Christ, one God-man, through his choice to be obedient, has brought salvation into the world. Just as Adam brought death, so Christ brings life. Where sin abounds, and I think this is one of the most important lines in all of sacred scripture, where sin abounds, where sin is abundant, grace, mercy, superabounds. That you take all of the sins in the world, the graces that are available for conversion are so much greater. The reality, though, is, with regard to mercy, even many who think themselves and are thought by others good Catholics don't open the door for this grace. Their candles are basically extinguished or just a little ember. They're not ready to go to confession. But instead, rather than tucking up their garments, they just let their garments remain soiled and hang all the way to the ground as an anchor. They don't come to receive that superabounding mercy. They don't open the door to Jesus constantly trying to knock on the door of their conscience, to get them to examine whether their conduct really is aligned with everything Jesus wants. We talked on Sunday about the need to persevere in prayer, to pray always. Do we examine our conscience about how much of our day is lived in conscious union with the Lord? Or do we just say, hey, I prayed my rosary before Mass, I went to Mass, no big deal. We don't examine ourselves enough. And because of that, the superabundant grace that is available to us never transforms our life. John Paul II was one who never ceased to preach about the beauty of the Lord's mercy. His second encyclical was about God rich in mercy. Dives et Misericordia was the name of it. A beautiful encyclical encouraging all of us regularly to receive the Lord's merciful love. And what he meant by regularly would be at least once a month. He wrote a beautiful apostolic exhortation on the gift of the sacrament of confession. Reconciliation and Penance was the name of it, in which he described that parable of the prodigal son and how every time we go to confession, we experience that reality that we were dead in sin, but we've been brought to life again. My son was dead, and he has been raised from dead. Every reconciliation is a resurrection. John Paul II was the one who had, as Bishop of Krakow, St. Faustina's diary looked at to make sure that everything was solid in it. He thought it was, but he had it examined because he wanted people throughout the world to read what Jesus was saying through her to us about the superabundance of his merciful love. Then he beatified St. Faustina Kowalska. Then he canonized her in 2000. And he declared that the exclamation point for the entire celebration of Easter, the end of the Easter octave, would be Divine Mercy Sunday, so that we would all, every year, have a chance to ponder that great mystery. And is it any surprise that in God's providence, in which there are no coincidences, that the Lord would call him home on the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday, that very feast that in obedience to the Lord through St. Faustina's diary, the Lord had asked to be instituted. And how fitting it is that he was beatified 2 years ago on the Feast of Divine Mercy, and that he will be canonized by Pope Francis next year on the Feast of Divine Mercy. Blessed John Paul II was always preaching about the superabundant love of God shown in his mercy. Today's opening prayer, written for John Paul II's feast day, said, O God, who are rich in mercy. John Paul II's words from his own encyclical. Who willed that Blessed John Paul II should preside as Pope over your universal church, grant, we pray, that instructed by his teaching, and his teaching can't be clearer about the merciful love of the Lord that we have the awesome opportunity to receive in the sacrament of confession, that instructed by his teaching, we may open our hearts to the saving grace of Christ, the sole Redeemer of mankind, as we heard about from St. Paul in the first reading today. 35 years ago today, in his famous homily in St. Peter's Square, John Paul II said many times, Non abbiate paura. Do not be afraid. Aprire le porte del cuore a Cristo. To open the doors of your hearts to Christ. Do not be afraid to open the doors of your hearts wide to Christ. Christ is coming, knocking. May he find us with our lamps lit and our loins girded, ready to open ourselves to the superabundant grace of his mercy, to follow him along the path of mercy, and to do his work. If we do, then we will never be caught off guard at the end of our life. And if we do, then we will pass with John Paul II from this house to the house of the Father. Don't be afraid. Open your doors to Christ. Jesus, we trust in you.